I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We're celebrating 24 years in business and just entered our 11th year of doing open lines. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2018 open line format that comes with the launching of our brand new website, which is all spiffy. You can also find an archive of past topics. We've covered almost every business topic you can imagine. So whatever you're thinking of, you can go to our publication events tab on our site and find the topic you're looking for. Our second book, Cracking the Business Code, is available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icon on our homepage. And we just finished, drum roll, our third and final book, Cracking the High Performance Team Building Code. And that's available on Amazon right now. And we also offer skills testing, which has been a huge hit with our clients. So if you need skills testing, just let us know. Those that work with Lighthouse might have met Glenn Croy, who has been a COO for companies with 60 to 600 employees with a strong OD background. Another senior consultant that joined our team is Doug Klute. Doug was a client of ours for many years while he was at King's Hawaiian Bread, where he was VP of HR. King's grew from when we first started working with them from 120 employees to well over 1,500 employees today. And we're so glad to have Glenn and Doug as part of our team. Our topic today is millennial marketing. If sales is a dirty word, let's get them to buy. My name is Data Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, team building, stress management workshops, and much, much more. We have a new program that's offered either online or live, and it will be in Spanish. It's regarding leadership, supervisory leadership, progressive discipline, and we're getting a lot of feedback on that right now. So if you'd like to find out more, just let us know. We have an office in Taiwan, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas of how to interact with the U.S. company, just let us know. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to the calls that we get from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area. You can send questions or ideas during our discussion. We'll attempt to respond to as many as possible. We have a full crowd today, so please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. And at the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. So write down two or three questions to either send in during the program or ask them during towards the end of our program today. I want to introduce a very close friend of mine, a business colleague. He is the top of his field. His name is Pat McClure, master sales coach and expert in selling across generations. Over the past 30 years, Patrick has trained salespeople and managers to drive breakthrough sales results using innovative and practical techniques. He has a knack for reducing the most complex problems to utter simplicity and showing his audience exactly how to start winning new clients. During his corporate career, Pat sold over $250 million worth of products and services at giant corporations such as IBM, Hitachi, Data Systems, EDS, and Digital Equipment. He is a black belt master at selling complex business solutions to C-level executives, and today he will share his secrets with smaller companies on how to make sales a win-win scenario. As the author of three books on selling, Patrick passionately and patiently serves up his wisdom to readers, clients, and audiences through his consulting firm, the Connexia Group. He caters to both small and large firms seeking to close more business for them and to help to show them how to do it themselves. I feel privileged to have Patrick back with us today. His ideas will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of this program. The topic will be Progressive Discipline, the Key to Managerial Success, which will also be offered in English and in Spanish. So, Pat, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dana. I appreciate that sterling introduction. I realized after you gave it that it's a little bit too long. I'm almost embarrassed.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so thank you so much. Our topic today is millennial marketing. If sales is a dirty word, let's get them to buy. And as we will cover as we go through this presentation, millennials have a different view of sales. They really resist the whole concept of selling, but they enjoy buying. And so if you understand that in depth, you know exactly, or you'll be able to figure out how to get them to buy. Instead of selling to them, we want to encourage them to buy. And there are a lot of techniques that we're going to talk about that are going to help us to get that. Just by background, the way I came up with this topic and the way I've written and spoken on this is through my clients. About 6 years ago, one of my clients came to me with a big problem. He said, I've got all of these people that are working for me. They're all under the age of 40. Many of them are millennials. And I have a problem. They're not doing the job as effectively as I'd like them to do. They don't communicate very well. And so I started digging into the problem, understanding that verbal communication, face-to-face communication, was not a strength of the people I was dealing with. And that led me down the rat hole of going to seminars and understanding millennials and digging into the topic. So what I'd like to give here is a caveat on this, that when you're talking about millennials, there have been volumes of information written already about millennials, managing millennials, dealing with millennials, what to do with a millennial. A lot of information. There's a huge amount of research that's been in this topic. My specialty is, how do you sell to them? Or if they work for you, how do you get them to sell? So I'm taking a very narrow focus on millennials, seeing them only through the lens of sales and sales optimization. And that's the whole point of what we're going to be talking about. So today, if you're in the sales world, these are the challenges that you're dealing with. And you see them in front of you. You can read them as easily as I can. Information overload, massive competition, selling across generations, branding, difficulty getting appointments, et cetera, et cetera. I will tell you right now that among all of my clients, and I've got dozens of them, difficulty getting appointments is number one on the list. And all related to that is difficulty getting qualified appointments. So most companies out there today are struggling with the information overload that we're having. There's so many different points of access. So much data is coming at people that they have difficulty. The average executive is receiving about 100 emails a day. They're getting barraged by a tremendous amount of information coming to them over the web. The average web page is looked at for about 6 seconds before people switch off it. Phone calls are not being returned. I heard an astonishing fact the other day that 48% of voicemails are never even listened to. I always thought that they weren't even picked up, but no, they're just deleted without even listening. So access to information and access to your people has never been more challenging. So this is the environment that we're dealing in today, and we're going to cover in a lot more detail how do you work within that challenging environment. So let's talk about the three generations. If almost all of you, if you're in a sales organization or if you have your own business, you're operating off of a plan. You should have a sales plan that should be in writing, and it goes along with your business plan. And that plan also should include how do we sell with the three generations. And as you see in front of you, let's cover in briefly the three generations you're dealing with. The baby boomers are the older generation that is now massively retiring. Gen X are generally going to be the people that are in charge of organizations, and the millennials are the junior level executives that are rapidly rising. And you see the ages, average age of the baby boomers, 52 to 70. Gen Xer roughly is 35 to 51. Millennials are 34 and over, younger. And I just updated these slides. They're actually 36 and young, and younger. As we move forward, and these slides are about a year old, you see the ages shifting a little bit. But you get the idea. Generally speaking, your baby boomers, they were a very, very wealthy generation. They were motivated by accumulating as much wealth as possible. They didn't have any problem with putting in huge, long hours because they were driven to succeed. And they were also the first generation to massively admit women into the workforce. Tremendous loyalty to the company. I remember when I first came up the ranks, I worked at Digital Equipment. Everybody that worked there were, one of the things that they valued was lifelong employment. If you got a job with that company, you were pretty much employed for life unless you did something really stupid or illegal. That changed. That changed as I was in that company because they experienced the first layoffs. And that led to the Generation X. But in the baby boomer generation, they were very loyal to their company. Their screen of choice they grew up with was the television. They were driven to succeed. So in a snapshot, that's the baby boomers. By the way, there is a white paper that we're going to be sending out to each of you that it's 17 pages, and it goes into this detail in vast amount of detail. So it will cover, there's a whole chart of these generations that's about three times longer. Gen X is the daughters and the sons of the baby boomers. They're characterized by not trusting the system. They valued work-life balance. Whereas the previous generation, their parents believed in accumulating as much wealth as possible and who cared how long it took, the Gen Xers started to look at, we need to balance our life. We don't need to work 80 hours a week. We need a balance between our work and our life. They were reactive. They reacted to the excesses of the previous generation. Key traits were, this is the first generation that went through layoffs. As I referred to before, Digital Equipment started to lay off and give out pink slips, and that happened in this area. They were the first generation to start massively adopting computers, and so you started seeing desktop computers and laptop computers in this generation, where the previous generation was pretty much mainframe computers and dumb terminals. And also Gen X was loyal to their skill set. The loyalty was no longer to the company. They were loyal to getting as good as they could at whatever they were doing. So if they were an accountant, they were looking at becoming a better accountant. If they were a doctor, they were advancing their skills as a doctor. Their screen of choice was the computer, and career goal was work-life balance. And by the way, what I'm saying is these are all broad generalities. There are always exceptions to this, but this is the common defining characteristics of these generations moving forward. And the millennials, which we're going to be focusing on, characterize their much younger, more casual, flippant, plugged in is the operative word if you want to underline that. They grew up as in the internet generation. You know, almost from birth, they were plugged into the internet. Younger, 34 and older, civic generation, very devoted to causes, global causes, and improving the world. Loyal to those causes. Their screen of choice was the cell phone. You notice here, the screen keeps getting smaller and more powerful. That's something that you really need to understand. When you're dealing with a millennial, they're going to do things over their cell phone. When they make a reservation for a movie, for instance, in my generation, the baby boomer generation, we would call up the theater and find out what the theater times were. Gen Xers would go onto the laptop and access the website for the company and find out what the screen times were and get more detail on the movies. The millennials will go in, find the movie of their choice, and make the reservation from their cell phone. So again, you see a different use of technology by the generation. And the millennials were also blending work. One of the interesting things is with regard to millennials, if you hire them and they're working for you, they will have strange hours. They may show up at different times. They may work late. They may come in early. But also, the additional bonus that you get with the millennials is they work 24 hours a day. So they may be watching television or playing a computer game at home, and suddenly an idea will come to them. They will switch gears, log onto the company website from their cell phone, and start accessing information and start doing emails or texting right there on the spot. They will shift from pleasure to work seamlessly, and they do that almost 24 hours a day from wherever they are. That's an interesting thing about millennials. So regardless of the hours they put in, you're going to get a lot of more productivity from the millennials because they're always, you know, they can shift easily back and forth between work and play. They're not bound by the hours that some of the other people worked with. Let's move forward. There's another generation coming up.
This is great information. Somebody just wrote a note in. They need to dial in, so that will take care of that. Sorry about that, Pat.
Okay. No problem. So there's another generation coming up. It's called, by the way, these generations are also called cohorts. And a cohort is just simply a group of people that are banded together. And it's a way we have of viewing. So a generation can also be a cohort. And the next cohort is called Gen Z or the I generation. And I bring them up just so you know that I'm aware of this next generation. This generation, you see a chart in front of you that characterizes the differences between them and the millennials. They're now between the ages of 8 and 18. Now, this probably doesn't matter to you much if you're selling to B2B, if you're selling into businesses. But if you are selling to consumers, if you're selling a product B2C, this is massively important because this is the demographic you're selling into. This generation is much more independent, much more entrepreneurial, and will take an individual outlook. As different from the millennials are much more oriented around the group, what the group wants, what's good for the world. Gen Z, in reaction to that, is much more what I want, what's individual to me, how is it important to me. This generation is also called the homeland generation because, quite frankly, they grew up watching 9/11, and they grew up with the homeland security, and they grew up with terrorism. So their generation is much more exposed to how dangerous things are. That's why they're also more focused on individual. They tend to be early starters. They want to get it done fast and now. They are fully global from their cell phone. So I have nieces that graduated recently from college, and they are everything that they can do on their cell phone, and they are networked to people around the world. And they're texting people and working with people constantly with friends and family worldwide. And that happens seamlessly. And it's amazing how they are able to blend texting and video and pictures and do this seamlessly and doing it right now. For any of you that have children, if you want to find out more about them, just watch what your children are doing or ask them to give you a lesson. This generation, the cohort, the Gen Z, are absolutely addicted to digital devices. There's a term called nomophobia, which stands for cell phone addiction. You cannot separate this generation from their cell phone. They're linked. And it's something to be very, very aware of if you're doing marketing. They're very unique, and they are used to an independent work environment. They shine in an independent work environment. If you try to put them into an 8-to-5 routine in an office, they will chafe, and you'll have a lot of difficulty. So there's some things to really understand about the cohorts as well as the millennials. So, again, these are broad generalities to help kind of set the stage so that you understand the next slides that we're coming up with. So we're going to turn our attention now to the buyer profile. Any of you that are in sales needs to understand it's not so much important what I'm selling. What's important is what they're buying. And in order to do that, we need to understand what they view, how they look at the world, to understand what's important to them, because this will lead to what they're buying. The millennial buyer's profile, and this also includes the Gen Z, they never knew a world without the internet. I can remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember when the internet started and when the World Wide Web migrated into the internet, right? But these folks, children and young adults, were born right in the middle of the internet, and they've really known a world that wasn't connected. They're highly educated. 34% of them have a BA degree or higher. They are very visual and motion-oriented. They love games, movies, music, video, pictures. All of this stuff is very, very relevant to how you market and how you position your company. They are very dependent upon social media interaction and texting. Now, this is one of the interesting things, trends right now. You're starting to see Facebook falling into disfavor because Facebook almost broke the code on the social media, and massive amounts of millennials are defecting from Facebook. The reason is because they're starting to see cracks in the seam in terms of security. They're also starting to see how social media has been abused. And so you're starting to see shifts on this right now, and it's interesting to watch. Millennials, one of the things that I found out about this is they're very challenged by face-to-face or phone conversation. Now, again, this is a broad generality. This is not all of them. But generally speaking, if you grew up with the internet and you grew up with texting and that's all you did, and sometimes occasionally a little bit of email, but pretty much texting and sending pictures and video back and forth, and that's how you communicated with all of your friends, you got really good at that. You didn't spend a lot of time face-to-face communication and phone communication like the previous generations. So therefore, they are challenged by face-to-face or phone. I found this out by, I have clients that have millennials that work for them that need to do a lot of work over the phone or need to do face-to-face calls. And they have massive amounts of difficulty because guess what? They never did that. And so training and skills development needs to really focus in on this if that is a key part of the job. Again, the millennials, because they went to school, they're highly educated. Most of them have debt. Many of them live at home because they can't save the money to buy a house as well as pay back their debt. They marry later. Many of them don't even have a driver's license. They just Uber everywhere. And they have the highest work turnover in history. Again, these are broad generalities, but a millennial working for a company, the number one reason they will leave a company is because their boss is somebody that they don't like. In other words, burned out on their boss. And these are key characteristics of millennials. And I'll just pause right here, Dana, because I wanted to find out, do you have any questions relating to the millennial characteristics that I've been covering so far?
There is. Thank you for asking. Let me summarize this. Where are people going if they're not doing Facebook and they're going away from it?
Well, they're shifting to Twitter and what's the other one that's at Snapchat? And a number of different other applications that are coming. There's Facebook lookalikes that are more secure. And I think Facebook recently announced the intention to develop a Facebook version, maybe paid for, that has more security features and less advertising. So that's kind of where people are shifting to. And there are some networking applications. I can't remember the name of it, but they are not Facebook, but they're, it's right on the tip of my tongue. But basically what people are moving towards is still doing the social networking, but different applications. And okay. The one Snapchat is the one that comes up, as well as YouTube.
Instagram, is that one?
Instagram, yeah. Instagram. Okay. And then WhatsApp, that's another one. WhatsApp is a networking you can set it up. You can set up a private network on WhatsApp for a family, and people are doing that. And so, generally speaking, Facebook is still immensely popular to the Gen Xers and the baby boomers, because that's how granddad and grandmother are keeping track of their grandkids, and that's how everybody's storing their pictures. Also, YouTube is very, very popular for pictures and also networking.
Okay.
Good question.
That's perfect. All right.
Okay, so let's move on here. Okay, so technology and culture, two different things to look at. Again, we're talking about understanding these factors so that we can use these so that we can sell into this demographic or we can get them to sell for us. Remember that your millennials lived through the 9/11 terrorist attack. They're used to an environment that has quite a bit of unrest. Ideas are shaped by the media, by Hollywood, and by your professors. As anybody that knows, about 95% of college professors are very, very liberal, as is Hollywood and as is the media. So millennials as a class are ultra-liberal, devoted to the ideas that they're getting. Now, there's a significant and growing backlash to that right now that you're starting to see with the I generation and the cohort that's coming up, because they're much more individualistic and they're taking a look at what worked and what didn't work with all of this huge liberal influx. They're starting to balance back the other way. So it's kind of curious to see. Again, this is not a political discussion. I'm just looking at, if I am selling to a millennial demographic, I need to keep in mind what they believe and what's important to them and what they've been taught and where they live and breathe in order to position my marketing, my messaging, and my key value propositions. So you need to understand that in detail. The technology that they've been raised in is Facebook, LinkedIn. They've also done Snapchat, YouTube, Twitter, Google, Amazon, iPhone. A lot of the purchasing that's going on is online. So if you're selling things in a B2C environment to millennials, you darn well better be all over Google, Amazon, iPhone, all of the networks and all of the ways that people have of acquiring goods and services and doing that online. Because, you know, shifting, you know, purchasing has massively shifted online. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm used to packages arriving from Amazon Prime about every other day. My wife has discovered that in order to buy clothes or makeup, it's a lot faster and easier and quicker to just buy them online. I buy books, and a lot of the books I like to buy are not in the bookstore, so I buy them on Amazon and they arrive the next day. So Amazon has pretty much broke the code in terms of how do you deliver goods and services quickly and efficiently and get them to the doorstop. And now that's migrating into all kinds of other things like groceries and sporting goods and clothes and whatever. So technology has completely changed the way consumers are buying. And then behind that, the way businesses are building their systems and going to market is massively changing. We're in an environment now where photos and videos and music are shared instantly. When my nieces graduated college, they were live broadcasting the college graduation ceremony to friends of theirs that were in Africa and in France. It was unbelievable, but I watched it happen. This was only a couple years ago. So we're in an environment where we have instant access to information, and that's very important if you're marketing or selling to realize the people you're dealing with have access to all of the information you need. If you're designing a sales process, your salespeople need to know that whoever they're sitting in front of them, there's probably about a 90% probability, especially if they're dealing with a millennial, that they've already been researched. They've already been looked at. The people that you're dealing with already know all about your company, all about you, possibly where you went to school, what your background is, what your company is all about. So if you sit down and you start to try and cover that information with them, you're all right away starting on the wrong foot. They already know you. And so it changes the way we sell. Millennials and Gen Z are very unique. unique as differentiated from Gen X and baby boomers. Two-thirds of them are very concerned with the state of the world and they feel obligated to change it. Characterize, differentiate that from baby boomers and Gen Xers, which were much more oriented around how can I make as much money as possible, not so much concerned about the environment. And so very, very different. Millennials want to make an impact on the world. They believe in socially responsible investing. Online platforms are critically important to them. So if you have a company and you're selling and your demographic includes millennials, which is almost everybody, you darn well better be optimized for online ordering of your products, online access to information, a lot of videos, a lot of movies, a lot of very, very clear, buzzy, eye-catching graphics, very important, use of music, branding and connecting with things that are very popular. Millennials are very risk-averse. Generally speaking, they're not heavily investing in the stock market. And the way millennials make decisions is they consult with their peers and also with social media. Now, what's happening now is there's a growing distrust of social media because people are starting to figure out that you can post anything you want on social media as if you are an authority, and you're not. And so just because something is written in social media doesn't make it anywhere near close to the truth. And increasingly, people are realizing that that a healthy distrust of whatever appears on social media is a wise decision.
Pat, a question came in regarding videos that you just brought up. How long should a video be on a company's website?
That's a great question. The attention span of people for videos is less than a minute, right? Any video that's over about a minute is starting to lose attention.
Gotcha.
Right? Okay. Now, if you're doing training videos, and again, I'm talking about selling videos, right? So what you're doing is you're attracting people's attention and you're putting your unique value propositions right up front. And that needs to occur in the first 30 seconds. And then you've bought the interest for people to follow a little bit further. Now, once you've got that interest, now you can go a little bit further. But if it's a typical like sales video or call to action video, it has to be very fast and it has to articulate very fast and quickly exactly why they should give you their eyeballs.
Do you have companies that you another question. Do you have any companies that you recommend for doing videos like that?
I would look up Google. I would Google digital marketing companies or video production companies.
Okay.
And there's dozens of them. You know,
our marketing person does an amazing job, so I didn't know if you might have a list or something you could share, but okay. Great.
No, I don't. There are just a carload of companies to do that. But one of the things I advise is if you're a company, hire a millennial that knows marketing, because they will tell you exactly the current things and the hot things that people are doing, the hot tools that people are doing. So just basically either hire or consult with a millennial because they know how to do it.
Okay.
And anybody in Gen Z or Gen X is going to be fumbling around.
Good point. Oh, and actually, this is a hot topic apparently. Another question. How much should a video cost to produce it?
Video cost. Hard to say. I work personally with a company that is doing a lot of my video production and digital production. It's a really neat company. It's called, Thrive or DexYP. And what they do is they do a comprehensive program where they'll do your website and your videos and pull it all together. And so I don't generally do endorsements. They're a pretty good company. But there are several other companies out there that will do your branding and your video production and link it in with your website. It's important to have an integrated digital marketing. Because in the modern world, you know, digital marketing and digital selling is very, very relevant and current. And if you don't have that, you know, piece of your puzzle really, really going, you're going to miss out massively.
Okay. Thank you. That's perfect.
Okay. Good questions. All right. Millennials in the marketplace, right? Why do they act that way? There's a YouTube video by Simon Sinek called Millennials in the Workplace. Highly recommended. It's about 12, 15 minutes long. And he talks about why millennials act the way they do, and he comes up with four key areas. And I encourage you to watch the video. It goes into it in detail. This whole concept that millennials are coddled and special because of failed parenting, I have clients that complain about the millennials that work for them, and their complaint is, I can't criticize them, I can't push them, because they're very fragile, they're snowflakes, they'll just melt under the pressure. I haven't personally experienced that, but that's a stereotype, and what it comes from is this environment where everybody was treated equal. Everybody, there was no competition. Everybody got a competition award for being on the Little League team. So there's some stereotypes about this, but basically a lot of the millennials were raised in the pass-fail world instead of the competitive environment that the Gen X and the baby boomers were raised in. So they act differently. They are cell phone addicts. You need to realize that if you create an environment and you have an environment and you expect the millennials not to use their cell phone, that is a failed strategy. I do a lot of public speaking, and I know that the cell phones that are out are being accessed, and if I say something, there's a 90% probability that it is being fact-checked by my millennials on their cell phones as I speak. And so this is something to just keep in mind. It's just a fact of life. They will use their cell phones. Don't even try and regulate it. Impatience, they are driven for instant gratification. They grew up in the instant everything environment, and so if something is offered, they better be able to take advantage of it right now. If they want to buy something, you better have a website, and they better be able to order it right now. Otherwise, they'll lose patience. And in the environment, they like to work with companies and they like to work with corporations that appear to be helping or that are organized around improving the world. When my niece Jillian graduated from UCLA, she did not go to work on Wall Street. She joined the Peace Corps, went to Africa, spent 2 years teaching English to Africans. Very, very socially aware. Social causes appeal to millennials. And so if you can take your product or your service and you can link them with socially responsible investing, that will get you, a long way with the millennials in your demographics. So product messages that appeal, just talked about that briefly. Your product message needs to commit to a cause, and these are common causes. They need to also be technically challenging. If you can make them a game, most of you on this call realize the vast popularity of Pokemon or Pokemon Go, which was an online application that you could run from your cell phone where you grabbed tokens and monsters and Pokemons, and you made them part of your environment. And as you did this game, you increased your points. And a number of very, very smart businesses aligned themselves with Pokemon, and they became Pokemon stops or Pokemon recharging stations or whatever. And so huge numbers of people took advantage of this, businesses, and they increased their business dramatically. Well, Pokemon, actually, I predicted Pokemon Go 2 years ago when I wrote my first white paper. I stated at the time, somebody was going to write an application that ran on a mobile device on a cell phone that was fun and played, and it would link in with businesses, and they would make a fortune. And that's what Pokemon did. It was unique at the time. Now there have been several other iterations now, but the point is that millennials will play, they will use their cell phone, they will buy things, they will connect with people, and they'll do it all from their cell phone. So your product message also needs to appeal. It should be popular and viral. And again, a lot of this is B2C, but if you're in a B2B environment, realize that the demographic that you're selling to, the screeners and the junior executives are all millennials. So when they want to find out about something, they will turn to their cell phone. So if you're sending out a newsletter and it's not optimized for mobile, you're going to miss out on the marketplace. Marketing is critical with millennials. You need a strong brand. It needs to be very, very simple, because keep in mind that this generation uses quite a bit of Twitter. If it doesn't fit in 128 characters, you're not going to be able to use it for marketing. Your marketing needs to be unique. So however you're able to do that, you need to convince the world that what your widget is doing is different from everybody else. Also in marketing, in my generation, in the baby boomers, and also in Gen X, we were very sensitive to the fact of stalking people. In other words, if you send a message out, you don't want to send another message out. If you left a voicemail, you didn't want to call again the same day. If you sent an email, you didn't want to send another email for 3 days. Throw all of those rules out. Multiple and simultaneously marketing is the way that companies are getting ahead. The reason is that there's so much information being sent at your consumers that only about a tenth of it is getting through. So, you know, if you're really interested in getting on somebody's appointment calendar, multiple attempts to connect with them is the way to do that. And there's no reason why you need to sit around and wait for a day to do it. Do it right now.
Hey, Pat,
it needs to be intense and connected. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, an interesting question came in. This is for B2B. So when is it overload to do emails? Like there's a rule of, what, twice a month from a company, no more than that. But has that changed?
That has. There's a company that was recommended to me by one of my clients, and the name will come to me, but the latest research on emails is that, obviously you know in sales it takes about 6 or 7 connect attempts with somebody before 80% of the people actually connect and buy. So most salespeople or growing salespeople will make 5 or 6 attempts to connect and then they'll give up. But 80% of the sales occur after 6 attempts to connect. Now, what's changed is the frequency of connecting. The frequency of connecting has shifted. It used to be, out of politeness, if you send somebody an email, you don't send another email, you wait for 3 days. Well, that's, like I said, it's blown out of the water. Multiple attempts to connect. Now, what I normally advise people to do is if you're trying to reach somebody, use multiple channels simultaneously. That means if you call and they're not there, you could leave a voicemail, although 99% of voicemails are never returned, and 48% of them are never even listened to. So a voicemail is pretty much a waste of time. So you either reach them or you don't. Call for somebody else in the company, ask them to transfer you. So if you're using phone, that's the way to do it. Texting, if you know they're mobile, text them, as well as call them on their mobile phone. Connect with them via LinkedIn. Connect with them via Instagram. Connect with them via Twitter. A multiple and simultaneously attempt to connect. Also, if you're trying to reach somebody in a company, thoroughly do your research on their website and on their LinkedIn page. Find out who the person is that you're trying to reach, and then find out all the clubs and associations that they have, because oftentimes if you go through their club or association, you're going to have a much higher percentage. So there's a whole science, and I do a lot of training on business development, because getting access to people has never been more complex and more difficult. So you multiple and simultaneously to connect.
Okay, thank you. That's great.
Okay. Marketing, as I said, is critical. Sales triggers. What catches their attention? So you can just, burn this chart in your mind. If your product or service is out there, it's got to be interesting, innovative, visible on the internet, easy to order, solves a problem, trendy or popular. If you make your product or service difficult, i.e., and I find this with B2B customers quite a bit, if they're putting together proposals, right, sometimes you're selling a product or a service, let's say you're doing a systems integration project like we used to sell when I was at IBM. It could be $1 million, $2 million, it could be $5 million, right? So how do you make that easy to order? Well, you need to clearly understand from the customer what their problems are, and then you need to articulate those back, and then you need to put it together into a very, very simple proposal format and review and make sure that your pricing is consistent with how they'd like to do that. And you need to do that rapidly and quickly, right? If your ordering process is way complex and it's going to take a month to get the proposal together and then to go through legal proposal and all this, the longer you stretch out a sales process, the higher the likelihood is that you're going to lose the deal or somebody's going to come in with a simpler process, making it easier to order. And so anytime you're in B2C or B2B, this is critical. You got to solve their problem. And your company must be visible on the internet. They must be able to go onto the internet, find out about your company and what you do, and it must be visually entertaining for them to find out. The other thing is the coin, the currency of today is innovation. If you haven't read David Houle, H-O-U-L-E, he is a futurist. He writes a number of books and articles, and he talks about innovation. And the coin of this generation is, and the key trigger, what people are buying is innovative solutions to problems. They like, people want to have a solution to their problem, and they like something that's brand new or something unique. And so if you're selling, you want to make sure that your products are in this area. These are the triggers that catch people's interest. You gain their trust by value. Don't try to sell, particularly with regard to millennials, right? Don't even try and sell or push. It's not going to work. Keep it simple. Keep it value-based. God help you if you exaggerate or you distort facts because you're out. You must be painfully honest in this market, not only because it's ethically and morally the right thing to do, but quite frankly, everything that you say is going to be fact-checked. And if it's incorrect, you're completely out. Because their bias is, especially if they identify you as a salesperson, they don't want to trust you. So your value base is clear. It must be customized and tailored to meet their needs. Okay? And they expect you to earn their loyalty by providing value and good services, particularly if they solve problems that everybody has. Here's a quick diagram. I use this in my sales training. As you can see, the way we used to sell used to be we had to meet people, we had to introduce them to our company, we had to hand out our brochure, talk about our company, talk about what our opportunities are, our value, ask their questions, blah, blah, blah. So a lot of this front-end work that salespeople used to do is being done on the internet. So millennials have shifted the sales process to where they're actually taking over the beginning portions of the sales process. So when you enter into a meeting with a millennial, chances are they've already done the lead, qualified, they've already done this. And so it changes the way you market yourself, and it also changes the way you sell. Okay, a couple more slides and then we'll be wrapping it up. Key strategies to implement if you want to sell to this generation, to the millennials as well as the I generation, simple and compelling. Revamp your online presence. They will find you online. I recommend you hire a millennial to do that. Change your messaging to appeal to their generation. Now, quite frankly, in most companies today, the decision makers, the CEOs and the CTOs and the CIOs that are signing the big contracts, right, they're Gen X. But the people they go to that they rely upon to find out about things, to do the research, are the millennials and the Gen Z. So your messaging, your first barrier is if you don't appeal to the millennials, you'll never even get to be the shortlist. So keep that in mind as you put your marketing together. You must align with their values, right? So whatever you're selling, it must align to the values of that company. Also, the strategy of free with upsell is very, very workable with millennials. Give them a trial run. Offer them a piece of your product and so they can try it out. Anybody that does CRM systems knows about Salesforce.com. Well, Salesforce.com, you can try their products out for free. You can go in and you can have a subset of their product. You try it out for free. If you like it, great. If you expect to do more extensive things to do with it, you have to pay an upgrade fee. So whatever you're selling, figure out a way, if there's a way to package it so that you can try it out for free or on a limited trial basis and then upgrade. You must align with their causes. And again, hiring a millennial is critical. Okay, that's the conclusion of my standard presentation. Again, I went through this really fast. There's a lot of information I covered. I wanted to add one more thing on product messages that appeal. Technically challenging, I talked about. How do we do that? Right now, companies are really, really, the buzzwords are AI, artificial intelligence, gaming, virtual reality, digital transformation. All of these areas are coming together, particularly in the B2B environment. And so when you're putting together what your company offers or delivers, keep those things in mind. Some of the hottest trends are in gaming and interactivity and virtual reality and Internet of Things. And so you have to be really up to date technically in order to sell to this generation because they grew up with this stuff. And so you better be on board with all the latest trends and research in order to be able to sell to that environment. And so I'll pause now and turn it over, Dana, to you and for questions.
What a terrific program. Thank you, Pat. On the screen right now, you'll see a link where you can sign up for our next program, which will be on April 19th, Progressive Discipline, the Key to Managerial Success. If you want to sign up for that right now, you can do that. I want to thank Pat again for being on Open Line. We're going to open up the line in just about 60 seconds so you can talk directly with Pat if you have questions. Or for those of you a little more shy, you can reach out directly to Pat. All his contact information is on the screen. So I'm going to ask everyone to put their phones on mute. Not on hold, but on mute. And so
Dana, on my screen, it didn't show... It showed a login to yours.
That's because you're a speaker. Everyone else can see your...
Okay, thank you.
...information. So put your phones on mute, not on hold. I'm going to open up the line. You can talk directly with Pat in just a second here. Let me turn the recording feature off, and we'll be right back.